Well, we praise God this morning to be here, and we thank God for His traveling mercies that allow us to get here on this morning. I'm going to ask you today to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11 with me. We're going to look at a verse there, and I believe something that is that God wants to talk to us about today is helpful for us. And I will share with you this. This actually is was spurred in my spirit, and I've just been talking with God about it and thinking about it and praying about it since Friday when Sis Fennell and I were driving out of town. And we were talking, it was Friday morning, and in the course of the conversation, she had acknowledged something that I think all of us can attest to, and that is this. She acknowledged that she doesn't like making mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are like that, amen?
Amen.
I don't know anybody who likes to make mistakes. Amen. I don't know anyone who, desires to mess up. Mm-hmm. Right? We all want to do things, but we also want to do things at a certain level. We want to do things right. We want to do things properly. We want to do things correctly. Mm-hmm. That's all good stuff. Mm-hmm. But all those good things have to be balanced against an inescapable truth. We're going to mess up. Amen. We are going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. We're going to do things imperfectly, incorrectly. Sometimes it's deliberate. Sometimes it's not a mistake. It's just a mess up. We just do some things that we know we're not supposed to do. And at other times when we do things that we're trying to do the right thing, but we just simply have one of those human failings, amen. And we just mess up, and none of us like to do it. But here's the thing: we all are going to do it, and if we're going to be successful in this life, we have to learn how to deal with our mess ups and our mistakes, because they're a part of our life. We have to learn how to deal with failure, because they are part of our life. Amen. I think one of the things that I find out in these suburban enclaves that I've never agreed with, they don't allow their kids to fail when it comes to sports.
Yes.
They have this whole mentality of everybody gets a trophy just because you participated. That's not life. You don't get a reward just because you show up. And if you start to teach children that, they believe then that they should get raises just because they come to work. Forget their performance. I came to work every day. Mm-hmm. Well, you're supposed to come to work every day because that's what you signed on for. Mm-hmm. You don't get a raise for that. You get a raise for coming to work every day and then doing your job and doing it above what's expected of you. Mm-hmm. But, If Johnny learns, I can come in last place and I don't have to try that hard, and I can cry all the games and not play and stand at the other end of the field and not run down there, but at the end of the whole matter, I still get a trophy. What did Johnny learn? I remember when I was playing sports as a kid, I didn't have my mom and dad taking me places. You just learned to go certain places in the neighborhood to go sign up during the summer. And we played organized sports, and sometimes only the team in first place got a trophy. Sometimes first or second got one. That was it. So what did you do when you didn't get one? You went home and you said to yourself, I'm going to try harder next time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't go crying. I mean, I believe if that happened out in some of these suburban areas that we have, where kids didn't get trophy, I think people would file class action lawsuits. You denied my child a trophy. we have to learn how to deal with the disappointments and the failures and the mistakes and the mess ups, because they are a part of our life. And if we deal with them right, I think that those things actually position us to be more successful than we otherwise would be. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because there's something so valuable in learning how to overcome something that pushed you back. It's something so valuable in being able to rise up off the ground from something that knocked you down. Mm-hmm. Amen. Nobody likes to be knocked down, but isn't it something? Isn't there a sense of satisfaction of knowing, that thing knocked me down, but I got back up?
Yeah.
Yes.
That thing threw me for a loop, but now I've got my bearings back, and I'm standing flat-footed, and I'm ready to go forward again. There is something powerful in that that lets you know that you cannot be stopped unless you stop yourself.
Yeah.
Especially for a child of God, amen, because you have God on your side. I have God on my side. What's the scripture say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And so we have God on our side, but we have to overcome some things. And some of it is this: I don't like to make mistakes. Because here's the thing. If that's taken to its farthest end, it can paralyze us.
Yes, right.
It can keep us from getting out of the boat. It can keep us from taking the shot. It can keep us from trying to put our hat in the ring. It'll keep us from doing things because, you know what? I don't want to fail. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to come short. I'm going to come short on some stuff. But isn't it better to come short after having tried than to just come short because you just cut yourself off? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And so we want to talk about that today. We're in, what, 2 Samuel?
Yeah.
Chapter 11?
Yeah.
Let's just look at verse number 1.
11.
Yes, 2 Samuel, yes. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And you know what they say, 2 Samuel is the easiest book to find in the Bible. Why?
It comes after 1 Samuel.
Because it comes after 1 Samuel. Amen? You can't find 1 Samuel. That's something else.
Exactly.
Amen. Praise God. But 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's look at verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Ramah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, to you we give the praise and the glory and the honor, because you are God all by yourself. There's none like you, none before you, none beside you, none after you. And Father, we look to you and you alone right now to speak words of life into us, O God. Father, we need to hear your voice today. We're praying for revelation. We're praying for inspiration. We're praying for instruction and guidance. So God, speak down from heaven right now and bless us with a listening ear to receive. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into the truth of the word. We're praying that our eyes will be opened, O God, that our ears will be attentive, and our hearts will be ready to receive all that you have for us today.
Yes.
Father, we desire to be changed by the renewing of our minds. So let your word flow now, O God, like a river. And Father, we bless you, O God, for what you're about to do in this place. Father, we humble ourselves under your hand now. You be exalted and glorified.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our title today is, it'll take more than that to stop me. Amen. It'll take more than that to stop me. And the that we're talking about today are mistakes, mess ups, failures, amen, disappointments. As a child of God, it'll take more than that to stop us. Amen. A mistake is not going to stop us from getting to our divine destiny. Amen. A mess up is not going to stop us from getting to that point that God calls good success. It's going to take more than that to stop us. We look here at David. We just looked at one verse because we want to focus on something in the context of mistakes. And we all make mistakes. We don't want to condone too easily, I'm only human type of a thing. But you are only human. And so you're not perfect. There's been only one perfect man that's walked this earth. Amen? And there's not going to be no one else. Amen? It was only Jesus that lived this life without sin, without making mistakes, amen. We, on the other hand, are fragile. The Bible says that God remembers that we are dust. Sometimes we forget that we are dust. Listen, I'm dusty, amen. I tell my wife, amen, you heard me tell before, I'll never forget, and I believe God gave me that one. When she was mad at me one time, I told her, I said, don't get too mad at that mistake, because there's plenty more where that came from. And I'll never forget I told her that. Because here's the thing, like, listen, you can't bribe me on this one. I got some more. How many of you know? It's like the comedian who talks about he got jokes. He goes, I got a million of them, a million of them. That's how I feel with mistakes. I got a million of them. Why? Because I'm a human being. No matter how much I want to do things right, I'm not going to do everything right. Same thing for you. No matter how much you want to do things right, you're not going to do everything right. And so don't, you know, Sister Pennell, she's learning now. You can get mad at me if you want. I'm going to shrug my shoulders after a while. Because if you give a couple more minutes, I'll have a fresh one. I have a fresh mistake, fresh out the oven. Amen. But we all make them. But we can overcome them by God. And what we're looking at here is David. Because one of the things that is very subtle here in what we just looked at in 2 Samuel chapter 11 is a mistake that David made. And then we're going to just talk about briefly as an overview of what this mistake led to. Let's look at it again. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. See, David was the king of Israel at this point. Mm-hmm. And note that the scripture said, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Mm-hmm. David sent out the leader of his army, Joab, and his servants, and all the fighting men of Israel. They went out to battle, and Israel was strong at this point. Mm-hmm. They would defeat their enemies. And they destroyed their Ammon, and they besieged another city. But look what the scripture said. It said, but David stayed home. Mm-hmm. He stayed home at a time when kings normally went out. I don't know why David stayed home. The scripture really doesn't tell us why David stayed home. But David made a decision. You know what? This time, I'm not going to do what kings traditionally do at this time of the year. They go out to battle. I'm staying home. And we understand what happened when David stayed home. He stayed home, and one day he went out on the roof, and he saw Bathsheba. And he got Bathsheba to come over to the house, right? And he had a relationship with Bathsheba, and next thing you know, Bathsheba gets pregnant. Problem was, Bathsheba was married to Uriah. And Uriah's out there on the battlefield fighting on behalf of Israel, the same place David would have been. Now, if David was on the battlefield where he should have been, he would have never saw Bathsheba that day, would he?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But see, he made a decision that I'm not going to do something. It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And for David, it was a mistake that had far-reaching consequences, because not only did he now get Bathsheba pregnant, but then he started to make more decisions after that. See, sometimes when you make a mistake, one of the best things you and I can do is to confess it unto God, and then own up to it to other people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back to those two things. But we should confess it, and then we should own it. And too many times, we don't confess it, or we will confess it, but we won't own it. So what did he do? Once he got Bathsheba pregnant, he then, instead of owning up to his mistake, he then compounded it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then he tried to trick Uriah into coming home off the battlefield. and going in with his wife so that he can say, oh, okay, the reason why Bathsheba was pregnant because you came home. Remember Uriah? You came home and you slept with her. That's why. Mm-hmm. But Uriah was more honorable than David. Because he said, how am I going to go in and be in comfort with my wife when everybody else is sleeping outside on the battlefield? And he wouldn't go into his own house.
Yeah, that's true.
And so David then, instead of taking that as a sign, well, maybe I just need to stop it and own up to this thing. Nope, he came up with another plan. Told Joab what? Put Uriah at the front of the battle. Mm-hmm. And then withdraw men to leave him out there to get killed. And so he had Uriah killed. But what did that lead to? That led to Nathan telling him, thou art the man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When he told that story about the man who was living next door to a neighbor who only had one little ewe lamb, and meanwhile the man had all these flocks of sheep and everything else, and he took the one man's lamb. Because he had a house guest. And David said, that man should die. He should pay back everything. And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. And then what happened then? God pronounced something over David. He said, the sword is never going to leave your house. Right? He talked about all kinds of things that would go on within his family. And what happened after that? We had Amnon raping Tamar, his sister.
Yeah.
Hmm? Then we had Absalom killing Amnon, his brother.
Wow.
Then we had Absalom then revolting against David. And I'm telling you, you can trace all of this back to a bad decision that David made by not going out to the field. Mm-hmm. Now someone would say, well, it doesn't seem like David overcame that. No, by the grace of God, he still was king. He still maintained his kingship, and he still, amen, is the greatest king that Israel ever had. Mm. But he messed up.
Yes.
And David's not the only one who messed up. You have to love the Bible, because the Bible lets us know that there are plenty of people, amen, who are in here who are heroes of faith, but they're not perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham did some things that weren't right. Do you know that Abraham started out? Abraham, he was an idol worshiper. Mm-hmm. Late in the book of Joshua, we're told that Abraham, amen, worshiped the moon.
Yeah,
that's right. And even after God called him, Abraham goes down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Abraham lied. How many of you know that? Mm-hmm. This is my sister. Sarah is my sister. Mm-hmm. Abraham lied. What about Moses? Mm-hmm. Moses had a bad temper, made all kinds of bad decisions.
Yeah.
He killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Remember that? He had a bad temper. Mm-hmm. And his bad temper was such where, remember, God told him to speak to the rock? Mm-hmm. Oh, but he had to do something else. He had to start calling people out their names. Oh, you want some water, you rebels? And he hit the rock, right? Water came gushing out. But God said what? You will never enter the promised land because of that. Well, he made a mistake. Joseph was a man who made mistakes. Yeah, he got the coat. Yes, he had the dream. Yes, he was appointed by God to lead his family and his people, but he made a mistake. Went around boasting about it.
Yeah.
Telling his brothers, he's 17 years old, y'all gonna bow down to me. They didn't want to hear that, right? They sold him into slavery. When we were away, we went to the Sight and Sound Theater. You like Captain Love, they say, where the Bible comes alive. And it was a play. It was beautiful, amen. Beautiful production. They said they worked on it for 3.5 years of Samson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really good. A beautiful production of Samson. And we know Samson was one who made some mistakes.
Yeah.
Marrying Philistine women, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Letting women nag him. into giving up stuff. Remember, he told the riddle at his wedding, and nobody could guess it. And his wife just kept nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. And so he gave in and let her know what the riddle was. And then he got into a relationship, of course, with Delilah. And Delilah, amen, betrayed him and wanted to know, what's the cause of your strength? And he told her because she kept nagging him. But Samson made some mistakes. Peter made mistakes, right? Peter walked with Jesus and still carrying switchblades. Cut people's ears off and stuff, right? Peter doing all kinds of things. Jonah. You mean, think about it. I mean, the Bible is just filled with people who make mistakes. Even Paul.
Yeah.
Paul made mistakes. He and Barnabas were close. He and Barnabas making trips. They took John Mark with them. And then John Mark wanted to go back home, and Paul said, that's it, I ain't talking to John Mark anymore. And Barnabas said, that's not right. Paul, it caused friction between him and Barnabas. And the next thing you know, Paul and Barnabas are split up, and now Paul is sailing, spreading the gospel with Silas. How do we know it was a mistake? Because Paul later on in the book of Colossians talked about how John Mark was very valuable to him. So he realized, I made a mistake in trying to cut off John Mark. Simply because he wanted to go home. This is all good for us to see, because then hopefully it will let us know I don't have to be perfect. And I believe that as children of God, we understand that God is perfecting us, but we're not perfect, and we shouldn't allow someone to try to tell us we have to do certain things a certain way, otherwise we're not worthy. The devil is a liar, amen. If I make a mistake, that does not undermine my worth as a person. If I make a mistake, that does not destroy who I am. If I make a mistake, I am not going to lose my self-esteem.
Yeah.
Just because I made a mistake, yeah. Just because I did something that all human beings from the beginning of time up until now have done. Mm-hmm. Except for the Lord Jesus when he walked this earth. So I'm not going to do that. I refuse. Amen. And God lets us know that there is life after a mistake. It's not enough to stop you. Amen. It's not enough to stop you. So we all make mistakes. Amen. Scripture says in Romans 3:23 that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Every last one of us. Amen. Don't look at my sin and then put your spiritual nose up in the air. You got some too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But here's the other thing. Let us not put our spiritual noses up in the air.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I don't do that. Yeah, there's some things I don't do. So what? There's some things I do you don't do. Don't get too close. Y'all give me one of them looks like, yep, you're right, but don't get too close. This is not going to turn into a confession. What's the Bible say about a righteous man? A righteous man does what? He falls down seven times. But what? He gets back up again. That to me is the difference, amen. And that's who we're made of. We're the righteousness of God. Yeah, I can fall and you can knock me down. But if I continue to walk in faith, I'm getting back up.
Amen.
I'm going to get back up. So no matter what happened to you in this life, you can get back up from that thing. And not just get back up and maintain your position. You can then go farther and higher after you get back up. But you can't do anything by staying down there.
That's right. That's right.
And see, the enemies will try to convince us that we need to stay down there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we try to convince ourselves. And there's a part of us that we have to understand, and we have to really, we really have to crucify. And you know what that part of us is that we need to crucify? The one that loves to throw pity parties. The one who goes, woe is me. Mm-hmm. And listen, we all got that in us too. Oh, yeah. That's why you tell people how much traffic you was in today. Oh, really? Yeah, but it's okay. Why are you telling me? You want some sympathy.
Exactly.
We all want some sympathy sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do. We want people to be on our side. We want people to, like, stroke our head. It's okay, baby. It's okay. We all want it from time to time. But don't need that as part of your daily requirement. Amen? Because, see, part of it is, I believe when we're really strong, that we realize something. I don't need any pity. Why? Because I got God's mercy. Yeah. I don't need your pity if I got God's mercy.
That's true.
Amen. I really don't. I don't need you feeling sorry for me. I got God's mercy. I'm laughing because I remember something. And Joseph got a big kick out of this. He and I went to the store. I told the story before. We went to the mall. And, you know, I've never been in this store before. So we walked in the doorway over here to the right. And, you know, we walked around the store, and but the registers are over on the left. So we walked around the store, we bought some stuff, and they got these big, clear plate glass windows. And I bought my stuff, Brother James. And I thank you very much, put my change in my pocket, and I turned and walked to my right and just kept walking out the store. The problem was, the opening was over there. I walked right into the plate glass window. And I don't mean like walk like this. I mean like, boom, 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 boom. I like took three steps into the window. Joseph cracked up. He cracked up there. He cracked up when he got home. And every time he talked about that story, remembered that story, he cracked up. And you know what? I cracked up too. Why? Because it was dumb. It was stupid. It was. I laughed even when I was there. Because it was a dumb thing to do. I didn't lose my self-esteem over it. I didn't walk out the store like this. Everybody saw me anyway. What was it? It was a mistake. It was a mistake in judgment. I thought the opening was here, and it wasn't. I got a little knot on my head. Little embarrassing, little silly, but, you know. We all make them, amen?
Yes.
We all do some silly things. We all do some things that are dumb. And sometimes we do things like David, amen, that are more than just silly and dumb, because they have some real serious consequences.
Yeah.
But see, David along the way had an opportunity to short-circuit this thing. But he compounded it. And that's the thing we have to avoid. When you make one mistake, don't compound it by putting more on top of it.
Yeah.
One of the things people make, you know, when they get caught in a lie. You ever have a child get caught in a lie? Mm-hmm. The parent, you know what they did. You know it. And they're there, they lie, and they just compound it. Now you're like, okay, now you're making it worse. I was just going to tell you don't do that again. Now, go to bed. Right? Now, you're on punishment. Now, right? Why? Because they did what? They compounded it. We make the mistakes, but don't compound it. Amen? One thing we need to understand when we make a mistake, a couple of things. Number one is this. God is bigger than our mistakes.
Yes, he is.
Amen? God is bigger than our mistakes. I don't care what mistake you make, it is not bigger than the God you serve. Mm-hmm. Amen? God is able to overcome any mistake that we make. And God can bring a miracle out of our mistake. He can bring success out of our mistake. He can bring success out of our failure. Why? Because he's bigger than any mistake we'll ever make.
Yeah.
And so as long as we keep walking with God, the one who's bigger than this mistake, he'll allow us to get to the point where we overcome this mistake as well.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
bigger than it. In a different context, amen, when Paul was afflicted by this messenger of Satan, God said to him something that we should take and know it applies to every area of our lives. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. When I make a mistake, I have God's sufficient grace to help me get past that mistake. Amen. When I mess up, I have sufficient grace at my disposal.
Yeah.
That's why this mistake can't stop me.
Amen.
I have God's sufficient grace. I have His favor and His power that's sufficient for me to get over this mistake and to go on with my life.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not at a deficit just because I messed up. I'm not at a deficit because I've fallen down. I've got God's sufficient grace. It's because God is bigger than my mistakes. You know, we know in the Bible that it says what? That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Mm-hmm. See, part of when we make mistakes, we get afflicted in our mind.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We begin to think that this is the end. We worry about how people are going to think about us because we've done this thing. Mm-hmm. But God can deliver us from that thing. Mm-hmm. And see, this is such a liberty in understanding that this is something that, no matter what it is, I can overcome this. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of me.
Yeah.
It's not the end of me. Mm-hmm. God can deliver me from this thing, and I have His grace, and I have His mercy. You know, when God tells us, you know, He tells us that we should boldly come before the throne of grace, He tells us two things, that we shall that we may obtain mercy and find grace. See, when we come to God, we can obtain mercy and find grace. And God's grace and mercy is enough to bring us through anything that we would do that seems to fall short. I believe what David should have done at this time when he saw Bathsheba. Amen. The man went on the used car parking lot. The guy said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Nope, just looking." The salesman said, "That's how it always starts." Sometimes stuff starts just by you looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. David looked at Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. You look at the chocolate cake. It starts by looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it just starts by looking. We look at stuff. Mm-hmm. You look at your bank account, you got depressed. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes it just starts by looking.
Exactly. Wow.
But listen, after you look, you still have the sufficient grace of God at your disposal. Mm-hmm. But we have to know how to lay hold of it. Right? And not get into that spiral. We got the grace and mercy of God. God is bigger than any situation or circumstance that we will ever face, but we have to tap into what He's offering us. Amen? The second thing I think we need to do, amen, is if sin is behind our mistake, because not every mistake is a sinful one, right? Sometimes it's just one of poor judgment. David perhaps staying home from the field was one of poor judgment. David looking at Bathsheba and then lusting after her and then bringing her over and on, that's sin.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But so what should we do when we make a mistake or we miss it or we engage in a transgression, but it was sinful? What should we do? Confess the thing to God. I believe that confession really frees the soul. I remember long ago when I was first started going to church and people used to say, "Tell the truth, shame the devil." Yeah. Remember they used to say that? Mm-hmm. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Because the bottom line is, if you confess something and other people know it, the devil can't hold it over your head.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. Devil will try to tell you something about things that folk gonna find out about you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they gonna find out.
Yeah.
Well, how can they? Well, if you already let people know, or you're already, you know, confessing to certain people, and that's not something that's hanging over your head, then the devil can't use that against you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, okay. I heard you got fired from your job. Yeah, it's on my resume. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So now what am I going to tell you? Well, 2 years ago, we had salary arbitration. You know, it's a very competitive business, and you know, we had our salary arbitration cases. It's important for our business. We went, and we had 9 cases that got scheduled for hearing over a 21-day period. Mm-hmm. We were working like, we were like, the Israelites making brick with no straw. We were just working. We had 5 cases go to hearing. None of them were really good cases, good players, or anything else, but nobody wants to hear that, right? And we lost all 5! Now, we had our last case on the day, you know, we had our last case, and then we flew home. And I'm flying home with my associate, and we had lost 4 cases, and he was like, you know, he had never won a case before. And he's mad because last year I did a case without him, and we won. And he's like, I still don't know how to win a case. I go, yeah, I know, I'm starting to win. But we're flying home, and we're 0-4 at that point. We're going to get the decision on the 5th case the next day. And he says to me, are you concerned that if we lose this case today, of what it's going to do for your reputation in the industry? I said, nope. A couple of things. Why? One, any business I get, God gives to me anyway. So God can overcome this. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? One. Second, if anybody asks me, people ask me, how do you do something? I know what I tell them. Man, we got our butts kicked last year. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. Yeah. So now what are they going to tell me?
Exactly.
What are they going to say? I'm not proud of it. I don't think it's something that helps me. You know what I mean? You don't put that on your brochure. We lost all our cases last year. Sign up with us.
Yeah.
But I can't run from it.
Exactly.
The worst thing I would do is try to act like I didn't go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or I only had 2. Uh-huh. Then when people find out about that, they go, not only are you a loser, you're a liar. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what? You own the thing. Yeah, I did it. But, you know, when we do have those things that are caused by sin, we need to confess them, right? The scripture tells us what, that we should, if we sin, we should do what? Confess, right? And God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's look at it. Since we talked about David, it's only fair to look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm he wrote in response to his affair with Bathsheba. And we look at Psalm 51, and just look at how David expresses himself. Once Nathan told him, thou art the man, David didn't try to make excuses. He wrote this psalm as part of his response to that. Look what he writes. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. You see how David doesn't sugarcoat it. How many times he talks about his transgression, his sin, his evil? He came clean before God. He was confessing what he did before God, and now he's in a position to receive from God forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Look at verse number 10. Look what he says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Right? In other words, if I'm going to be better from this point forward, it's not just about me making a vow inwardly and saying, I'm never going to do that again. How many of us have made that kind of vow only to do the same thing again? Mm-hmm. That relying on ourselves thing doesn't work.
True.
Amen. This is not about willpower. This is about Holy Ghost power, amen?
Amen.
And we
amen.
Need God to help us. David said, create in me a clean heart. Because why? Because the heart that I have is the one that led me to look at Bathsheba and then to do the things that I know I shouldn't have done that I'm now saying, Lord, forgive me for. Mm-hmm. But you got to do something new in me, God. Don't leave me the same way that I was.
Yeah.
Right? God, do something new in me. Create a new heart in me. Give me a renewed spirit. Give me a new perspective on life. We need God's help to overcome our mistakes. Whether they're caused by sin or just poor judgment, we need God's help. But if we lay hold of God's help, then nothing can stop us. But don't make another mistake by believing you can overcome your mistakes by yourself. God is here to help us. Look what he says in Isaiah. I want to turn here. I wasn't going to, but I want to turn here. Isaiah 41. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 41 and 10. God says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." See, that's the God that we serve, amen. A God who says unto us, don't be afraid of anything. I'm here for you. I'll give you strength. I will help you, and I will uphold you. So when I fall, when you fall, when we make mistakes, all we got to do is lift up our hand unto God, and he'll take our hand up and hold us up. Amen. And strengthen us and comfort us. Be not dismayed. I got you.
Amen.
Amen. I got you. Yeah, you made a mistake, but I got you. Amen. You never got out of my sight and you never got out of my care. You made a mistake, but I got you, says God.
Praise God.
Amen. Give me your hand. And together we can walk through this thing. Amen. Amen. So we make mistakes sometimes, and even if we make those mistakes and it's, you know, it's a transgression like David, it's a sinful one, we still have a God that we can go to and confess, ask him to clean us up, create in us a clean heart, and just lift up our hands to him, and he'll take us by the hand, amen, and lift us up and carry us forward, amen. Mm-hmm. But what if it's poor judgment? I think one of the things we have to do with poor judgment is a couple of things. One, own up to it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, for me, and I believe you feel the same way, when someone does something that was not right and you know it, and they don't own up to it, you may not say much because God has given you a grace now. You know what I mean? God put some grace in your life, and so you don't just call them out on it. Mm-hmm. But you kind of look at them and you, mm-hmm. I mean, you know. And like, okay, you want to insist on that? Okay. But they lose a little bit of stature in your eyes, don't they? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you look at them and go, you can't even own up to something that we both know you did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you got better things to do, so you leave alone. You're not there judging jury, but you know the truth. Right?
Yeah.
There's something that's a little disturbing about someone who doesn't own up to their stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But understand too, that's the same thing that people look at us when we don't own up to
this.
Amen. And a lot of times when you're not fooling anybody and you just don't own up to things, you become a little diminished. Amen. In the eyes of other people. Own up to the thing. Amen. Yeah, I did it. You ate the last cookie. Yeah, I did it. There's been many a husband, amen, who licked the cake and blamed it on one of the children. It might have been one of them kids. Own up to it, amen. Own up to it. Why? Because again, when you own the thing, then no one can use it against you. Why? Because you already owned it.
Yeah.
I'm taking responsibility for this thing. I don't need you, amen, to cover up for me. I don't need to try to deflect. Like Peter. Peter turned out, what about this man, Lord? Jesus said, listen, mind your business, Peter. You just feed my sheep. Good Jesus, you love me, Peter? You love me? Why? Because Peter, another one who failed, denying Jesus three times. Just own up to it. Let's look what it says in Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Amen? When you and I try to cover up our stuff, we're not going to prosper. Right? Come clean. Come clean with it. Own up to it. Amen? Own up to it. Boss didn't see you coming late. You sneak in at the last minute. Ooh, did the boss see me? No, he didn't see me. Okay. And he calls you. Hey, Johnson, what time you got here today? I was here on time, boss. Own up to it. You were late. But it's going to cost me my job. But I'll tell you this. It may cost you something more if you keep compounding the thing.
That's true.
Own up to it. Don't let that mistake derail you, because no mistake is enough to stop you from going forward in God. But if you compound it, if you won't own up to it, you won't prosper. People of God don't cover up. Amen. Come on. We don't cover up. We don't hide stuff. I don't know about that. People hide money under the mattress from their wife. But we don't hide things. Why? Because we come forward with them. We're clean with them. Why? Because we're not going to let this thing hang over our head. I'm telling you now, one of the most powerful things that you can have is a clear conscience.
That's true, man.
One of the most powerful things you can have is a clear conscience. Without a clear conscience, you and I can't even come to God properly. We can't. Without a clear conscience, you can't look another man in the eye. Without a clear conscience, you can't look your spouse in the eye. You can't look your children in the eye. Without a clear conscience, you bow your head down, you know, at certain points during your day. Without a clear conscience, amen, you can't sleep good at night. You need a clear conscience.
Yeah.
But part of having that clear conscience, amen, is just owning your mistakes. Knowing that your mistakes can't own you. And they can't destroy you if you handle them properly. Amen. You know, Romans 8 and 1 says something that's an encouragement to all of us. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you've been saved. And the Bible says, there is therefore now, not in the great by and by, right now, there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
Nobody can condemn you for your mistakes, because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So I can own up to my mistake. You can't condemn me. Who can lay a charge at God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Yes.
And see, once you know that, then people can't hold stuff on you.
That's right.
Amen. You can't condemn me, because there's no condemnation for me right here, right now, even in the midst of my mistake. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have to pay for it. I may have to. Johnson, you lost the job. Okay, well, praise the Lord. All right. But at least I'm walking out of here with my dignity and my integrity. At least I'm walking out of here, amen, with my self-esteem and knowing that I'm not a liar. I might have made a mistake. I might have done something I'm not supposed to do, but I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to blame it on somebody else. I'm not going to make excuses. Amen. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Excuse making keeps people back too. But we own up to that thing. There's no condemnation. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I can't be condemned. Okay. Here's the other thing. So, okay, let's do this. God's bigger than our mistakes. Amen?
Yeah.
If we confess our mistakes, God can help us. Cleanse us, help us, strengthen us, right? Uphold us. And then if it's a mistake of judgment, we need to own it. Mm-hmm. Right? Own that thing. Brother Les, you have many of people work for you over the years. Huh? How many people you let go who you found out because they couldn't own up and be responsible for their conduct? Amen? And they could be master craftsmen, but if they have that kind of flaw in their character, you say, you know what? You're done. I remember when when Brother Les first came here, it seemed like every week he would find somebody. Like, who he got working for? He like, I had to let another man go. But I've learned over the years that Brother Les don't, it's a certain thing. And if people aren't going to be honest, if they're not going to walk in integrity and those type of things, and they're not going to own up to stuff, who wants to be around that?
Exactly.
And how does that, as a child of God, represent your father?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one who doesn't lie, who cannot lie. You and I are going to do it, amen? If I make a mistake, I'm going to do what? I'm going to own up to it. You may have to lick your wounds for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to lick your wounds for a while, but at least you have a clear conscience.
That's true.
Be willing to pay the consequences. God is bigger. If sin is behind your mistake or your transgression, confess it. If it's poor judgment, own it. Amen? Own it. Here's the last thing I want to say to you if we make a mistake. Understand something. Life goes on after your mistake.
That's true. Yeah.
The sun does not stop rising in the east. The earth does not stop spinning. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because you made a mistake. Life goes on. Mm-hmm. Life goes on. That's a good thing, number one. The second, you can go on too and overcome it. I'm going to ask you to turn to Micah, and then if you turn to it, because I know some of you might have to turn to the Ministry of Health, which is the table of contents to find Micah. But once you find Micah, amen, I want to share something with you. Amen. This is part of the owning thing, and I could tell this story. And Sister Fennell, she knows it because she was there. But life goes on after your mistake. Especially if you make an embarrassing one, a knucklehead one. Sometimes you just want to crawl into a hole in the ground. You ever had one of those? You make a mistake, you just want to crawl into a hole in the ground. You don't want to answer your phone. You get off Facebook. You go into hide.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, we're in Micah chapter 7. Well, here's something I want to share with you. Years ago, don't worry how many years ago, but it was years ago, before I got saved, before Sister Nell and I got saved, our house was the party house.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but for New Year's, party was at our house every year.
Yeah.
And then sometime during it, Lord, I got to tell that too, and then sometime during the year, we have poker parties at our house. I don't just mean we just put out some cards. We would rent a big round table and chairs. I mean, it was an event. Lord, I'm so great. Thank God for deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
But I still got to tell the story. So, so one year we had a New Year's Eve party over at our house as normal. And we have alcohol, we drinking, because, right? Yeah, she's saying Jesus, because she know. She said, don't tell nothing about me. No, I'm not going to tell anything about you. That's for you to tell. Don't tell other people dirt. Listen, I was driving this morning. The 2 hours that we were driving, I kept trying to convince God, I can get through this message without telling this story. Amen. So here's the thing. I'm going to tell the whole story. So it's New Year's Eve. We have everybody in the house. We drink and everything. I'm telling you, Brother Jane, this is back in, I don't know what the game was. Maybe it was Atari. Maybe it was the early part of Nintendo when they had Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
You remember that game? Duck Hunt. Oh, the last thing I remember is being in front of the video game with my brothers-in-law and others, and we playing Duck Hunt. The next thing I remember, by the last, I'm in the hospital with a tube being forced out of my throat and I'm gagging on it. I come to find out that I like to pass out somewhere. And they had to call the ambulance to my house. And so now I'm picturing in my mind, you got to be kidding me. I got wheeled into the ambulance in the middle of a house in the middle of the block. That means people on that side and that side. And I'm in the hospital, and I get out the next morning, because it was already early in the morning. And I was fine. I was just drunk. Had to get IV. I came home that day, and I just knew everybody on the block knew. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like for like 3 or 4 days, I didn't want to go out the house. Because I was ashamed of it, amen? Because it was just stupid. And I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding me. This happened to me and everybody knows and all that. And don't you know? You know who he is. Thank God for family. Because my brothers-in-law and my sisters-in-law, they never let me forget that. Oh, they had a jolly good time bringing that one back up. And every time they did, I would just stand before them and go, yep, that happened. I wasn't making no excuses. I wasn't trying to, well, remember the time you got drunk? No, none of that. Yeah, I made a mistake. Yep, laugh at me. That's okay. Right? But life goes on.
Yeah.
And as much as the immediate aftermath, I believe I just wanted to crawl in the hole and never come out. I was thinking about moving. I wanted to get off the block. But life goes on.
Yes.
Amen. You make a mistake, life goes on. It may be bad, it may really cause some damage to you and others. It may just be downright embarrassing and shameful. But here's the thing, with God, you can go on after you make that mistake.
Amen.
You can go on. And even when people bring it up and they're laughing at you in your face about it, you can even look at them and go, yeah, that was kind of bad, wasn't it? Let's look at Micah chapter 7, verse number 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. See, sometimes, amen, when we fall, we just know people are rejoicing over us, amen? But see, if children of God, we can say to them, don't rejoice over me. Because I've fallen, but I ain't staying here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Look what he says. When I fall, what? I shall arise. Yeah, I made a mistake, but I'm going to get back up over this. Yeah, I fell down, but I'm going to get back up again. Amen. So don't rejoice over me. Don't get too comfortable laughing at me. Don't get too comfortable talking to other people about what I've done. Because even though I've fallen down today, I'm getting back up tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When I fall, I shall arise. And watch this. When I sit in darkness. When I sit in darkness, because I made that mistake and I'm feeling so bad and I'm feeling so low. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Not people. Huh? Not people. But the Lord shall be a light unto me. I'm not saying that you're not going to have people going to be encouraging you. But look to God first.
Amen.
Right? When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
Amen.
So here's the thing. We fall, but we can overcome. Life's going to go on, and we're going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to overcome this thing. And we're going to go further in God, and we're going to overcome our mistakes and our shortcomings and our transgressions and our failures, and we're still going to be all God has called us to be if we handle our mistakes and our failures the right way.
Amen.
And at some point too, I believe, as part of our overcoming, as part of knowing that life goes on, we got to be like Paul when he was talking about all of his achievements,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, Paul says what? He said, I've done a lot of things in my life, right? Pharisee, I got training, I got all these letters, I've done these things. But what did he say? He said what? He said, I forget all those things that are behind
us.
And see, there are times in our life that when we mess up, we got to forget all those things that are behind you,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Forgetting those things that are behind you. What do I do? Well, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget that stuff behind me. You know, I'm not going to let it dwell. I'm not going to let the devil conjure that back up and people conjure it back up. Doesn't mean, I think the forgetting is the forgetting from the standpoint of letting it paralyze you. Right? Because I think there's a freedom in being able to remember something and to be able to stand up straight. Amen. Stand up proud and go, yeah, I did that. It wasn't one of my proudest moments, but thank God he brought me through. But there's some things, amen, you messed up. You need to forget about it and move on. Move on. Right? Put that thing away. Bury that thing. Don't let that thing keep coming back up. Bury that thing once and forever. Forget about it and move on. Don't let it stop you from going forward. Amen. Don't let it stop you from taking another shot. Hmm? I see the people on Jelly Tree. My wife, oh God, you heard her today. She said she got some catching up to do on her judge shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. I watch these judge shows and I see people say some silly things. They will be in a case, they loaned money to somebody but didn't get a promissory note, or they do something like that. And they'll come out and they'll say things like this. But what did you learn? I learned not to loan money to family, I learned yet. That doesn't make any sense. Right? I learned not to do that ever again. And they get concerned about the fact that instead of they're saying, well, I should have got a promissory
note.
Right? They'll say, I'm never going to loan anything to anybody again. I'm never going to trust anybody ever again. No, you made a mistake. But when you own up to it and know that life goes on, what will you do? You'll just make adjustments.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You just make adjustments. And I think that's what we have to do as well. Yeah, I made a mistake, but if I fall down, I shall rise. And when I rise up, I'm not going to do the same silly thing again. I'm going to make some adjustments. I'm going to learn and to grow and use them as stepping stones on my way up. Because these mistakes can't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped out of school. That was my decision. College dropout. But by the grace of God, it didn't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people quit a job. Some people got messed up with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Move on. Huh? Move on. Children of Israel got up enough courage to let Moses finally lead them out of Egypt. But when old Pharaoh changed his mind and said, I'm going to come back and get you, the people looked behind and said, they started crying to Moses, why you brought us out here? And then Moses goes crying to God. And God says, why are you crying to me? Tell the people to go.